There is an example, if we take an example, that if an individual, if a person has a very beautiful pot or bowl, let's take a bowl for example, and if it's very extremely beautiful and decorated nicely, and it's in the ownership of that person, that bowl is that person's bowl. And if it's that person's bowl, if it's his own item, then it's the haq, the right of that person to utilize that bowl however he likes to use it, utilize it. It's his bowl, it's his pot, it's his right to use it. He can do it however he wants, use it however he wants. He's got the permission, total right. This is the meaning of haq, of right, that that person has open permission or access to use the item however he or she wants. Now you can put milk into that bowl. You could, if you put milk into it, and something good has gone into it that can be used. You could put tea into that bowl. You could put honey into that bowl. It's your choice, your control. Very good things. Or if you want, you could put water into that bowl. It's in your control, your choice. And if you want, you could put alcohol into that bowl. It's in your control, it's your ownership, nobody can say anything to you. You could put urine into that bowl, nobody can say anything to you, because it's your bowl. So look at the difference in how the contrast of usage, yeah? Big massive gap, massive difference. When we say milk, alhamdulillah, you will want to go towards that bowl, consume. If there's urine in that bowl, you'll want to go far from that bowl, dislike it, hate it, throw it away, smell. Yeah, so opposites, isn't it? In the same bowl, same pot, anything impure, if that's in that bowl, the same beautiful decorated bowl, but inside that bowl, the thing that's gone into it, if it's entered into that bowl, then it's changed the outlook, the total usage, and you rub it into the dirt, into the soil. If there's urine in there, it doesn't matter how beautiful is that bowl, it looks good, but you won't want to go and consume what's in there. You say, run away from it. Leave it. But if there's milk or something good in there, then you say, alhamdulillah, I can consume this. And if you've got permission, you'll drink it. Do you understand the example I've given to you? It's clear? Good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the human body, in our bodies, we have something very precious. What's the most precious item, the most valuable item, the most precious organ, the most valuable organ? That is the heart of insan, of the human being. There's nothing more valuable than this in our bodies. What is it? What's most valuable? Is the heart of the insan, the human being. Now our heart is, you can take the similitude of the bowl. Yeah, this is a hadith that's given us this guidance. The Quran hadith give us this guidance. What is this? It's like the bowl. Yeah. So whose control is this in? The person whose heart it is. For example, your heart is not in my control, my heart is not in your control. Isn't it? Doesn't matter how much friendship there is between us, but we have our own hearts, our own thoughts, our own usage of our bodies. Oh, these two are very good friends, we love each other, we're good friends, that's fine. But in our hearts we have our own preferences and thoughts and likes and dislikes. This is the case, isn't it? Yeah. So this is the same example that I have given to you. That this bowl that Allah Ta'ala has given to us is Allah Ta'ala's preference. That no one can make a more beautiful bowl than this. No one can make anything greater than this, than the heart that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Isn't this the case? Yes. So now Allah has given us control, will, freedom. That whose heart is this? Allah says, I've manufactured this, given it to you, but it's in your control. The usage is in your control. So it's our choice now, isn't it? That whatever we do with the heart, isn't it? Whatever we want to put into the heart, the value of the heart will increase in that way. So what should we put into our hearts now? Allah Ta'ala, you've given us this bowl, but what do we know? What can we put into the bowl, which is according to your greatness? What should we put into the heart so that we can fulfill the right, the greatness of the heart that you've given to us? So Allah Ta'ala stated that whatever my Rasul gives to you, embrace that and accept it. Say subhanAllah, subhanAllah. Whatever my Rasul gives to you, assigns to you, he has told you what should be in your heart. That Rasulullah has given us the guidance. And the thing he's told you to refrain from, then leave it. Don't put that into your hearts. So in the heart, whatever my Habib tells you, insert that into your heart and don't insert anything else. And whatever Rasulullah tells you to leave, then don't put that into your heart, because that will devalue your heart and lower it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So amalan, this is an actionable point, a physical point that we need to act on. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he tell us with regards to the heart? And what should we put into the heart? How should we benefit the heart? Allah Ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the heart should be contained with, filled with nur, qalbi nurum. Allahumma jalla fi qalbi nurum. That will tell you what we should insert into the heart, said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is your heart, which is in need. What is it we should put? We should insert nur into the heart, subhanallah. And fill it. For example, a bowl is full of milk or water or lassi or yogurt drink, a physical bowl in the world that we drink from. Allah said, Allah's Nabi said that if you want to fill your heart, then fill it with one thing. What is that? Fill it with the nur, divine benefit. Qalbi nuram. When your heart is full of nur and nur goes into your heart, then see the game that's played out. Subhanallah. If the nur comes into your heart, then filisani nurun, then your tongue should also be full of nur. Alhamdulillah. Fi basri nurun, and nur should come into your eyes. Jismi nurun, and in your ears. And khalfi nurun, subhanallah. Nur should be in front of you, behind you. Khalfi nurun, nur in front of you, nur behind you. Yamini nurun, and to the yasar, to the left, to the right, to the left, and up and down, in front and behind, below. Everywhere around you, be surrounded by nur. And your body will have the full effect of nur. Lahmi nuro. And even the flesh in your body, the blood, in the parts of your, all the organs of your body, nur will come. Watami nuro. And you will be a total reflection of nur. Your life will be a reflection of Rabbana atmimna, nurana. And then this nur, where will it will help? When you will be crossing the bridge of Sirat and shrieking out or calling out, Allah, I adhere to the words of your Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this bowl, my life long, I did one action that I inserted nur into my heart. And then the call will come out, subhanallah, today we can see the kamal of the nur that you gave to me, Allah, and the benefit I'm getting. Do you understand the word here? Do you understand the point? So this is about doing. This is about doing. And in this hadith, there's another beautiful point beyond this. As I said to you, that in the bowl, alcohol can go, urine can go. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has totally in the same way explained to us that what is it we need to realize now? What do we need to do now? That what action will deliver or allow nur to go into the heart? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's fadl and karam and blessings and mercies, all the good deeds become nur. Subhanallah. Yes, you're saying subhanallah time and time again. So your bowl is filling with nur. Yes. This is the point. This is what we need to understand. If you were sat somewhere where there was kharafat, could you say subhanallah there? In a bad environment, in a bad location, and for example, you could be arguing and swearing at each other, or backbiting amongst people, and doing wrong actions. We should be grateful to Allah that Allah has taken us to such a place that our bowl is being filled with nur continuously. Yes, and no one can dare, no human being can dare to understand the value of subhanallah. Just saying it once. عن أبي هريرة عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said that I heard, Ibn Umar said, that I heard, سَمِعْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ سَمِعْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ يَقُولُ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ كَتَبْتُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ حَرْفٍ عَشْرَةٌ حَسَنًا سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. That whenever any person, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us this, that whenever any individual, Ibn Umar, recites this kalima, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. So when he does dhikr of this and recites this kalima, then Allah Ta'ala records every letter. Upon every letter, the fatha, the kasra, the dhamma, and the letters on every letter, alif, ba, seen, whatever it is. Allah Ta'ala gives 10 noors, rewards on each harf and arshan hasana, what a great noor this must be, tell me. What a great noor. Allah Ta'ala has prepared that the bowl is being filled, and the quality of the bowl, subhanallah, it never finishes filling to the brim. It continues the bowl of noor, and we'll realize this at that time when we will see with our eyes. And we'll be able to see this. In this dunya we can't see, because this dunya is running with hikmah of Allah. We can't see what is bad or dark. In the same hadith, Rasulullah said that where there is good, and you can fill this bowl with noor, and you'll do good actions, good deeds, you'll do good things, then suddenly inside you the bowl of noor will fill. In the same way, as I've said to you, that you could put urine or excrement or impurities into the physical bowl you have. So in your choice, in your control, in the hadith is stated that if an individual, two examples Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given, that in place of this bowl, if a person does what? For example, you're arguing or fighting or quarreling or in anger, you're arguing with somebody, and you have taken side with the wrong person. This is the example of today's, two examples that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given in this hadith. That the example is that, for example, your bowl of, your heart can be filled with noor, but if you make a mistake and commit a sin, and the example of the sin that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that if you take somebody's side unjustly, you take the side of the wrong person. For example, two parties are quarreling. What do we see? That let's take somebody's side. Why? Oh, he's from my village, I'll take his side. Oh, he's my neighbor, I'll take his side. Oh, I know his dad, his father, I'll take his side. Oh, I've got old links and connection with him. And not just this, oh, he's wealthy, rich, tomorrow he'll benefit me. Oh, he's wealthy, he's rich, I'll take his side. Become his sidekick. How bad? And this is the style of our life. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when an individual does this, that he's committed this sin, and he's gone beyond the had, which is the boundary of Sharia, that beware, don't dare to take the side of us, whether it's your father, uncle, grandfather, friend, from your village, from your locality, doesn't matter whoever it is, you have to decide upon the haqq, upon the right. Ah, you can make a mistake in deciding what's right. Yes, maybe you make the decision, it could be wrong, but you cannot accept that something wrong is right. And if you take the side of the wrong person due to influence, then what is example that Rasulullah has given to us of the bowl? Subhanallah. Then the sin of that, the result, the punishment, is that individual, he is stood challenging Allah. The person who is taking the wrong side, he is stood in opposition to Allah. He's competing in Salah. Huh? But if that individual, yes, if he realizes he's done wrong and thinks and accepts, he has tawfiq immediately. Oh, I've done wrong here. I shouldn't have taken the side of the wrong person. And straight away he does tawbah to Allah. Then maybe he will be saved. This hadith is continuing, and you can read this hadith, it's pretty lengthy, and it's continuing in this manner. So suddenly that bowl that has been given to fill with noor, when a person speaks rubbish, nonsense, or swears, or says bad things, or backbites, he does bad actions, which are sinful actions with his body, with his hands, with his mouth, with his ears, when he commits a sin, then that bowl suddenly becomes darkness. Allahu Akbar. And in that heart, it's like the urine has gone into the bowl. Worse! And that heart full of noor, and very bad, impure things going, so impure and bad, hundreds of thousands of times worse than urine. Allah said that that person has stood competing against me, opposition to me. Then what's left? What's left then? Such a big sin that if an individual stands in opposition to someone, then Allah's Nabi said, then he has done the worst of sins. If he stands in opposition to someone who's on the right, if he lies or backbites or swears or commits fraud, then how are we filling our hearts? That we understand the dhahir, we are seeing this with our eyes, aren't we? That we see this with our eyes more, isn't it? And we pay a lot of attention and put a lot of emphasis, but the hidden things, we don't lay emphasis on these. No. That, for example, we can't solve with our eyes, the internal things. We see urine, impurities, always dirty, horrible, let's run away. But the sins a person commits, that a person is filling the bowl of the heart with impurities. And we can't see this, but they are even worse than the physical impurities. Every moment a human being, remember this, 24 hours, as long as our breath is running, we are alive, sleeping, awake, then our bowl of our heart is connected to us with our deeds. And we will break the connection when we will depart from this world. So I am giving the dawah, I'm inviting everyone to the concern of what? The 24 hours a day, a person who has the fear of the hereafter, and he knows about the hereafter, and he has yaqeen in the hereafter,
than such a human being, it's impossible for him that he fills his bowl with dirt and impurities and he doesn't know that is there noor going into this or is there impurity going into this. No, he will be extra cautious, alert, and will not allow dirt to go into his bowl. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us the example with a kalima, that dhikr is such a great action. Look here. That for example, you're reciting Subhanallah just now. Look at the noor. Subhanallah wa bihamdi Subhanallah al-Azim. The gap between the heavens and the earth is filled with the noor. So tell me, imagine the heart, then how much noor will go into the heart if a person recites good things. Tell me. Allah Ta'ala has said in the Quran, wadhkurullaha kathiran. That what's this dhikr and kathir that Allah Ta'ala is mentioning? So this is the point we need to understand. Allah Ta'ala says that when you recite these kalamat and you do dhikr of Allah and do dhikr with your qalb, then 24 hours your bowl will be filled with noor, with the light. And that is the need of the bowl. It has a need. And how much noor will go in? Subhanallah. How much noor will go in? The heart will become noor ala noor. The insan will become noor ala noor. And in his eyes and mouth and his hair and his eyes and all the organs of his body, they will not commit the sins. The limbs of his body will not commit the sins. And he will have dislike for the sins because noor has come into the heart. And the noor is delivered to the whole body. Just like an injection physically, you'll know that when, for example, the heart, it pumps out the blood across the body, the arteries and the blood circulates and it revolves around the body, comes back to the heart, it's pumped out again. So the blood is pumped by the heart. So if there's noor in your heart, then every drop of blood will have noor in it and it will be pumped around the body. Subhanallah. So these two things, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, look here, that if you're committing the sins, then there's a big adab, a big punishment, darkness you're earning in the heart, such a big darkness, that this darkness, the example of this is this, that the darkness of the heart becomes so intense, it's like the intensity of the darkness of Jahannam. Yes, the darkness of Jahannam, when a person goes into it, and it will be due to the darkness of the heart. Due to the darkness of the heart. At that time, a person, Kashafna, you'll say, oh, what's happening? What's that verse of the Quran? Allah Ta'ala says that on that day, Allah Ta'ala says, today, your eyes, the veils that were in front of your eyes, today I'm removing the veil from your eyes. We can see what was noor in the world, and it's just like urine and stool, we'd see it. We wouldn't put it into our bowl. We would put good things, milk and consumable things. But used to emphasize on these, that this sin you didn't see, Allah said, the sins you committed, there were reasons for this. Yes, Allah Ta'ala said, I showed you, you could see that you can save yourself and improve yourself and save yourself from sins. But this situation of the heart, that we committed sins and we can't see good deeds, we can't see the noor, we can't see what is Jannah, we can't see the rewards of Allah. And the reason for this was one, Allah Ta'ala said that I kept your eyes limited for this reason. Because Allah Ta'ala said, I told you before that your iman, there should be so much yaqeen in your iman that what I've told you in the Quran, how much yaqeen do you have on this? Everything is mentioned by the Quran. Alif lam mim dhalika al-kitab la rayba fi. This Quran, we should benefit from it. The biggest point is this. Allah Ta'ala says, if you want to take benefit from this Quran, do you understand what I'm saying? Then that person can take the full benefit of the Quran, who is not worried about just looking at the Quran, feeling emotions. But what Allah Ta'ala, Allah says, whatever I've said to you, instructed you in the Quran, that's what you need to do. Subhanallah. That's it. Your yaqeen should be this, that whatever I've said in the Quran, Allah says, that this is the punishment of hell, and this is the reward of good deeds, and etc. And we have yaqeen in this, that I don't need to analyze, I don't need to research. Rather, according to this, I will do the amal in my life. That's the insan. This insan. So that's what Allah Ta'ala said, that put the veil on the person that he couldn't see the rules of the hereafter, but Allah wanted to test how much yaqeen we had in him. So the person who fills the heart with impurity, he doesn't know if noor will go in, and we're just wasting time, and we're coming and we're going, and the days are passing. Well, what should our duty be? That from morning until evening, morning until night, we should be so alert, that nothing should we do that puts impurity into the bowl of our hearts. Nothing. Nothing should be, the stench of the sin should go into the bowl of our hearts. Obviously, when we put impurities into the bowl, then what will happen? That the dirty flies will come, mosquitoes will come, and insects will come into that bowl. So if into the bowl of our hearts we are always putting darkness and sin, then what will come? What will develop in the heart? Evil forces, evil smell, no angel will come, nor will Allah's rahmah come, nor will Allah's blessings come, and we won't be able to see. Because we think we are pure and we are clean. No, we think we can see a lot. So insan, this is in his tabiat. This is in his character. In our tabi'at, there's so much of this, that dhahir. For example, a person, he's emphasizing a lot on image and form and external things that people can see of us. We pay a lot of emphasis on this, that people can see this is mine, they'll be happy. Oh, I'm doing amal on the sunnah. That we can only see one sunnah, that we only see the sunnahs that we can show to the world. This is attraction, isn't it? Attraction, I tell you. Yeah, this is we're showing to people. To a person said to me, Hazrat, I feel like I also want to wear, don the black blanket, the dark blanket, and come to dhikr. Yes, he wants to do this. But this is sunnah. Why do you want to do this? Because it's sunnah. Tell me. So why? Because we want to show others that I'm following the sunnah, practicing the sunnah, that I'm pious. People will praise me. That, for example, if somebody says, oh, you're practicing the sunnah, mashallah, and you feel happy, then there can be nobody more proud than that person. There can be nobody more proud than that person. So, alhamdulillah, practicing the sunnah. Sunnah is important, essential. Sunnah is ala, greatest. But what's that to be? That if a person, his nafs is on the level of lawama or ammara, and he hasn't reached to the high stage of mutmainna, then he hasn't got to that stage that he can practice the sunnah for the sake of Allah. Because this is a high class practice, alhamdulillah. The sunnah practice is high class. And a person, when he practices sunnah, he thinks he's pious, a wali, he's wearing the black blanket shawl, he's pious, he's practicing the sunnah. No. I'm imitating my sheikh. That's good. It's good to imitate sheikh. I hear many people say this. I'm imitating my sheikh. I'm following the sunnah. This. So if you want to imitate your sheikh, then do imitation on those deeds which are essential. Pay attention. The asal, the genuine article, is the akhlaq of your sheikh. His ibadat, his worship, his way of life, his lifestyle. We should imitate that. And the greatest sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest sunnah was his akhlaq. Akhlaq, his conduct. This is the greatest sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, the lying hasn't left our life, no bad actions, and in our houses, in our homes, we're not giving rights to the wife or the children or our parents, and they are swearing, and this person's swearing, we're arguing and disputes, and we've got libas on our bodies, and we're wandering around. So, this is the tabiat of insan, the human being, that we emphasize a lot on dhahir. If I say everybody don the dark shawls and blankets, and everybody will start wearing this. If I say leave lying, it's too difficult. Oh, come to takbiri ula, the initial takbir, and who fulfills the sunnah of salah? Tell me. Who? Who fulfills the sunnah of salah, of wudu? These are the genuine actions. How many people recite du'as? How many people recite the du'a sleeping time? The hidden things that we don't show to people, that will give us uruj and heights, we don't pay attention to these. But when we come to dhahir, oh, I want to practice the sunnah, as others can see, only the dhoti, the izhar, I'm wondering, I'm in Madinatul Manawwara, I'm ashik Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the reason, because a person isn't on that maqam. So how can we even take the wali of life? We're not even doing the akhlaqi things. How can we get to the level of the nafs? So when we are, we've got riya, we're showing off. And if the sheikh doesn't give ijazah to follow the high stage things, then we shouldn't think about them. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, asal, real point here, is that an insan, the human being, if for example he's eating good foods and his stomach is unhealthy, yes, halwa's made nice, there's kishmish and there's sultanas and almonds, and there's ghee in the halwa, nice halwa, sweet meal, but my stomach's weak and it cannot digest and absorb, then I need to do exercise, make my body, condition my stomach and my body, then the food will go in and digest. Isn't it? Person like me, if he eats, then he will just keep going to the toilet all day long, all night long. Not healthy enough. We cannot absorb the power and the strength of the food. In the same way we go to a sheikh, to a teacher, because the sheikh knows that where's his nafs going, what's he doing, why is he doing these actions, what's he trying to show, what's he trying to justify. Without the sheikh's ijazah, we shouldn't do these actions. We shouldn't. It becomes a game. And for this reason, today Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, people have made it a game today. That somebody, for example, has got subs imamah, green imamah, I'm doing amal on the sunnah with a green imamah, with a green shawl. And he says that I am the greatest ashik of Rasulullah, that person. But if you do a person, if a person does actions like this, it's not good, where you're doing actions to show people. Recognize your nafs, your desires. So I spoke about dhahir. So what I'm trying to say here is that Allah, His principle and law is that He has given us the rewards of the deeds and Jannah. Imagine the noor we cannot imagine. So Allah has mentioned in the Quran that when that day will come of reckoning, then the veil in front of your eyes I will remove. In other words, you know, for example, a person has a cataract and we have operation for the cataract. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll take the cataract away. In the hadith, it's stated that when the cataracts, ours, yours, are removed, then we can't say, oh, we are seeing the reality of this dunya. Allah Ta'ala says, I will show you then those things that you will be amazed at. What are we looking at? I'll show you the plane of resurrection and how vast it will be, Allah says. The plane of resurrection, how vast it will be. In the hadith it's stated, the whole Jannah will be on one side, and imagine the power of Jannah, the glory of Jannah, and there'll be on the other side Jahannam. And from until now until the end of time, all of makhluk, from the beginning of time till the end, all of creation will be stood on the plane of resurrection. Imagine the amount of creation. All human beings, jinnat, shayateen, everybody will be gathered there on the day of resurrection. Jannah will be shown there. Imagine the strength of Jannah. Hellfire. Hellfire is such a big place. Jahannam, hellfire, is more vast and bigger than Jannah, because there's more public that will be in hellfire. And how big will it be? How vast? How broad? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my arsh will also be there. Allahu Akbar. On that day of resurrection, on that maidan, Allah says, then when your eyes will open, when I will remove the veils and I will open your eyes, Allah says, then you will see from one side to the other that what is there. And that is where the insan will see the noor. So it's better for the human being, the filhal, that we see the noor of the Qur'an. We understand the words of the Qur'an. This is not a story that Allah Ta'ala is telling us in the Qur'an. Jahannam, hellfire, and heaven, and the hoors, and the rewards. A person should be immersed and rejoicing, and all of these things Allah Ta'ala has mentioned to us, the words of the hereafter, Jannah. Then that person will get these rewards, who has noor in his heart. Allah Ta'ala will allow noor to come to that person's heart. So what I am trying to say, my friends, and this is the invitation of today, and which I'm trying to extend to you, the invitation, that we are wasting our lives, we're spending our times in a wasteful way, with wrong actions, non-useful actions, non-value-adding actions. I don't know what's in our hearts, the kharafat, the evil, the darkness. We should see our hearts, and there should be nood in our hearts, softness, tenderness. We should analyze that no thing should come into my heart, no spider, insect that should go in and create darkness from our control of our tongue, control of our body, control of our thoughts. To this extent, we should try that dhikr of Allah should be in our hearts. Every moment, a person's attention and focus should be on the heart. And this is the meaning of qalbi dhikr, silent dhikr. This doesn't just mean that you sit in maraqabah, in the gathering you've done dhikr. No, no. You should do so much practice, condition the heart. Every person who does qalbi dhikr, remember this. So much practice we should do that every moment our focus and attention should be on the heart. That we can say that the heart is alive. 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, we sit down, we say we've done dhikr. This dhikr has been done, alhamdulillah, there's no doubt in this, we get the thawab. But the objective we need to attain is that 24 hours our dhikr of the heart should be alive, our heart should be alive. So we should see here that when in the heart always the noor of the name of Allah is going into the heart, then we'll see the true reflection of the name of Allah and the benefit of it. So when there's a shortage in the heart, at that time a person starts to commit the sins because the dirt has gone into the heart. Then he commits sins, he has anger, because darkness is going, he will have actions of malice, he'll take people's haq, he'll do sins, and he'll do riyah, showing off, backbiting, and then he will become like a common person who's sinning. So Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala, He gives a great ni'mah to us. We're not even grateful for this ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. I say that if my skin is utilized 70 times to be manufactured into shoes, even then that my skin is not worthy that my Hazrat, my Shaykh could wear my shoes, the shoes of my skin, the great favor of my Shaykh upon me, that he guided my heart towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He focused my heart towards Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. What a massive ni'mah. Just like, for example, a person gifts you a detached house, that this is a reward, a gift for you, I give this to you. 6-bedroom, detached house, decorated, refurbished with a Mercedes on the park on the driveway. This is a gift to you for me. How grateful you'll be. Your heart will bow to that person. You'll submit to that person, won't you? You'll bow to the person. Think about it. A reality point. Reality point that your heart will bow. Such a good person, that he's given me such a big house, he's given me a car, he's given me a gift. I speak to you on a high level of dunya. Even today, if somebody gives you £100, you will go out of your way for that person. You'll be, that person's done a favor for me. I'll go lower than that. Even if you're driving a taxi and your customer disembarks and £10 is the fare and he gives you 20, you say, it's all right, you can take the change, keep the change. Then twice you'll look at that person. Who's this person? Definitely you'll look at that person. Isn't it? You look at him twice, look back at him. So your looking will be such that you will bow and submit the kamal. MashaAllah, what a good person that he said, no, you can take this £10 tip as a gift from me. So I gave you a higher example that if somebody gives you such a massive gift, then you'll become the mreed of that person. Oh, great stuff. He's given me a great reward. But this is about qadr and appreciation, about understanding and fahm. And insan, you mean, I speak about my hazrat, the hazrat, my sheikh, my teacher, he has trained the heart to become like a machine, that the bowl of my heart is always filling with noor due to the guidance my teacher gave me. Can I repay the favor of my teacher? Can I? Allah knows. Allah can give according to the greatness of my sheikh. And if I'm ungrateful to my sheikh and I backbite against him, and if I start doing backbiting against my sheikh, hazrat, astaghfirullah, and I say these are his bad points, I disagree with this, then this is adab ilahi, adab of Allah on that person. It's totally like this, that the Nabi of his time, the Prophet of his time, when the people, the mushrikeen, or the people who opposed Rasulullah or the previous Nabis, look at Yasin, and the Quran is explained how people, the Nabi would come, and they used to joke against my Nabi, Allah says, and how they used to play games, and criticize, and pester him, and do dhulam, and go against him, and joke against him. So definitely, the wali of his time has the same daraja, the same status. The wali of Allah, at any time, he is doing the work. He is the deputy of the Nabi of Allah. Yes, and he does the work of the prophets. And is he asking for money? Or if you see that the sheikh is not genuine, he puts the cloth out, give me £5, £10, £5, either he's doing that work of the dunya, that after they get everyone come out and give me charity, and put money into here, Allahu Akbar. This is not the case. But Hazrat, my sheikh, I saw the guests would come from outside. And Hazrat would give the money to a fellow student and say, that go, here's 5 rupees, or here's my guest, he's come from afar. Take these 5 rupees, buy some dal and get some roti and feed the guest. So that individual's come to learn the name of Allah. And the sheikh is given a massive favor that nobody can repay. Nobody can repay ever. That we cannot repay the favor of the sheikh who has trained the heart to say the name of Allah. I tell you this. To this. Such a great ikram. That Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did the work of the deen when he was alive. And Allah ta'ala gave him this duty. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given this task, that all the people in the dunya, in your ummah, everyone's heart, put the name of Allah. Say, put my name into their hearts and teach them my name. And this is the kamal. And the wali of Allah, after the Prophet's time, he's doing the work of the prophets. Subhan. And there are people who've done this in history, even today. And I speak about my hazrat. I'm not speaking about other people. I speak of my sheikh, my teacher. That such people, can we repay their favor? Tell me, if the heart is black, if the bowl is impure, filled with the stool and urine, and when we'll be scanned our hearts, I've said to you that every man thinks I'm pious, I'm a Sufi, I'm wearing white attire, dhoti and shawl. But when we are scanned, how much dirt is inside us? That we just demonstrate sunnah outside. Have we demonstrated sunnah internally? Tell me, how many times you wear dhoti at home? Tell me, never? No. So this is the example, the sign of the mu'min, that his inside and outside should be the same. Internally clean, externally clean. The muhabbat inside, we should have the muhabbat outside. We should have the same love with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not this, that for people to praise us, he's an ashik, he's a lover, this is a great jamaat, and they're great people. No, this should not be the case. So that's why there are levels of the sunnah actions and practice. The sunnah is a high grade status, but there are levels. Whatever is wajib, we must do that. It's compulsory. The question, does it arise to show off? It's wajib to keep the beard and other actions. But the sunnahs that have been categorized and have levels, and when do we practice them? They are practiced in accordance to the levels of the nafs that a person has achieved. Otherwise, a person is showing off. Definitely, we should practice those deeds. And to attain the permission to practice those sunnahs, or to attain the level that we should have a feeling that I want to do practice all the sunnahs, libas and attire. So what should we do to get to that level? That we should purify our nafs and our desires to that level that we become capable that we can practice those sunnahs. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not this that we don't practice the sunnah. No, we have to practice the sunnah and make effort to attain that, just like salah. Just like salah. Allah's Nabi said that salah is a high grade practice, and sujood and prostration is a high grade action, and the reward that salah takes a person to the high levels, isn't it? But our salah doesn't ascend. It doesn't get to the high levels. It does sometimes, but it doesn't get to the perfection, because we need to make effort. We need to bring khulus into our salah, sincerity. Do you understand what I'm saying? So to do this, when we make effort on our salah and have ikhlas and sincerity, then it will become that salah, such a salah that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, that do sujood and look at me, Allah Ta'ala says. Mi'raj, you will attain it. And this is the value of salah. Ajr, because we're not making effort. We're not striving. So to attain these things, most definitely, this is also sunnah. Great nur of the sunnah, dhoti, the izhar, etc. But if you are impure and internally dirty, and that person is showing off following the sunnah, then it's like mushrik. He's showing off. He's doing it to show, not for the sake of Allah. There's a contrast. Externally, we look pious, and inside, look at the hisab, kitab, that person's practice, and lana, and wretchedness, and curse. The heart is dirty and impure. So this is what is in our control, that we can attain the perfection if we have the right intention. So a person has to get to the high stage, to the highest level. Allah's Nabi said that very quickly, very soon your heart can become black, and very quickly it can become nurani with the light. It depends upon you, that the bowl has been given to you. Do you want to put milk into this or alcohol into this? That whatever you insert, that is what you'll get in the hereafter. And the tariqah, Rasulullah said, Allah Ta'ala has told us in the Quran, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah Ta'ala has given us dhikr, and we consider dhikr as a minor action, the name of Allah. And if we get the dhikr, the qalbi dhikr, those people, all the awliyaullah, the anbiya, the prophets of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they did the dhikr of Allah. If we get the tawfiq to do dhikr of the heart, are we grateful? After that we commit sins, we backbite against the teacher, and we are munafiqs and hypocrites with our teacher, and we speak against him? Tell me. Then that individual is doing the same actions as those people who are in opposition to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people, the hypocrites, didn't they? And they were destroyed, they were in ghadab, wrapped by ghadab, such men and women. Never should we do this, my brothers. This life, we should live cautiously, carefully. I tell you, life is passing very fast. Every breath we should be cautious. You will have seen the waliyas of Allah, always they've got tears in their eyes. Tears, they are worried about themselves. Always they look at their mistakes. Never do they consider that I'm a wali Allah, I've got dhoti izar, I'm high status, I'm pious, I'm ashik of Rasulullah. No. Every moment, every second, just like dua, that Allah, please allow me to humble myself and lower myself in my own eyes. Allow me to do this. Don't let me feel, don't let me even think that I'm better than others, I'm a great individual, I'm a awli Allah, wali. No. Allah, when I come back to you, then don't leave a reward that you have not given to me when I come to you in the hereafter. Allah, give me all the rewards at that time. And this is called the tasawwuf, purification, take out showing off and riyah and pride, and become, if you want to become fanaful sheikh, immerse in your sheikh, then follow his akhlaq, his lifestyle, his mu'asharat, his internal deeds and status. Don't look at physical and external, look internally, that how is my sheikh internally and purified good akhlaq. This is what I receive from my sheikh. Allah, show us, give us inspiration, so we can see that how, what maqam is my husband. Like I said to you before, that me and a friend, and he was a special student of Hazrat Sahib, and I said to him, please tell me, may Allah Ta'ala shower his grave with blessings. He was a special student and khadim of Hazrat Sahib, and I had friendship with him. And whenever we used to leave Hazrat's gathering, we used to leave together until home. And I said to him, brother, please tell me, you are very close to Hazrat. Tell me, what is Hazrat's maqam? He said, ajeeb question you're asking me. I said, please tell me, what's Hazrat's level and status? He was very beloved to Hazrat Sahib, alhamdulillah. And just like when Hazrat Sahib passed away, I think maybe just 1 month passed, and then he died as well. He passed away. This was the murid, the ashik. Swear by Allah, what a great student. And what love he must have had with the sheikh. So he said that, all I know is that once I was sat in Hazrat Majlis and gathering, and I was thinking that Allah show me the maqam, the status of my sheikh. They were sadiq and simple people, humble. They weren't fake like us and commit dramas all the time and wrong actions. And he had this desire and thought. He said, then I started to feel a little bit sort of drowsy and a bit sleepy. Do you understand? When a person feels a bit sleepy and drowsy, don't know what we're saying in Gujarati, so he's maybe just swaying a bit forward and back, maybe, you know, just falling asleep. It's drowsiness. So he said, what did I see? That I saw that Hazrat was stood, and Hazrat looking beautiful, and Hazrat said to me, it was like a trance, a dream, and Hazrat said, you want to know my maqam? And he said, yes Hazrat, I feel like in my heart I want to see your maqam. And Hazrat then went and spat down, and when Hazrat spat on the ground, then the gap between the heavens and earth was filled with nur, and just like the hadith states, The hadith teaches us that Allah, please make my tongue full of nur and my eyes and my outside and my inside and my flesh. Allah, make me full of nur and my life full of nur and benefit. And Allah, give me blessings. And even the saliva of the wali wala is nur. This is the buzurgs, the pious predecessors, that the murid, the student, they would wipe the saliva. They would take hold of that, of the, and this is haqiqah in the Muslim. They can't see it as spit or saliva. Yes, they don't leave it for a second. The sheikh's saliva, because they know there's blessings in this. Allah Ta'ala has made it nur ala nur. Everything of the sheikh, the teacher's nur ala nur, with the fadl of Allah, with the blessings of Allah. So, but if a person doesn't have this desire, I'm just telling you these points because mashallah, this is a specific gathering, a special gathering. We have discussions on tasawwuf and nearness to Allah, and new people are here. But the reason is this, that you're all students of this point, and I'm a student like you. So this is a very bad thing that we're in a class as students, we enroll, we're given the books, the kitabs, and the end of the year we fail. Doesn't make sense. It's sad, isn't it? So if you've entered and you've learned dhikr, and you are traveling on the journey, you are making effort. So the point is that we should strive and struggle and make effort. So the point here is, the summary of today's discussion is that alhamdulillah, what do we need to strive on? Our hearts, we need to control and make nurani with what? What Allah Ta'ala has given to us hundreds of thousands of times over, averages of thousands of times that we could be shakir and do shukr to Allah. Our tongues could drop out of tiredness, but we cannot be grateful to Allah enough for the thing that Allah Ta'ala has given us, the nur of His dhikr in our hearts, in the car, outside, at home, sleeping, lying down, waking up, sitting. There's nothing that can compare to the action of dhikr of Allah. Allah, 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 Allah. You can get tired reading Quran, praying nafal, tasbihat, but subhanallah, the heart is never tired of saying Allah, 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 Allah. Never. The heart will never tire. It will continue Allah, Allah, Allah. That's it. That we need to control ourselves, focus on the hearts. Whenever we pay attention to the heart. When the tawajjuh goes, go towards the heart. Then when we meet our shaykh and we don't feel enjoyment, Hazrat, I need to do more. Please focus on me. Tell me tariqah. Advise me. Improve my spirituality. This is how we should intend in our life. Always we should be paying attention to the shaykh, to the teacher. 24 hours a day to get the benefit from the teacher, because we need to bring our heart to that maqam, that our bowl of our heart should be full of nur. And you and me, I'm included here, if we make effort, then all of the fikr and the concern of the dunya will evaporate. I tell you the reality here, that the worry of the dunya will evaporate, everything will evaporate. When Allah Ta'ala says in the hadith, is stated in the Quran, the fikr-e-akhirah, we realize that this is haqq. This is truth. And a person is not worried anymore that this will happen, that will happen. It doesn't affect him, the person. He's not worried about dunya. He has one concern, subhanallah. One concern. That is the concern of the hereafter. For the hereafter. Bas. That's what he's concerned about. Nothing else. That he's passing the time in the world and building up for the hereafter. I saw Wali of Allah, he was speaking. And he said a beautiful point that pierced my heart. He said, I want to say something in this gathering. And we were speaking. The gathering was vast and big. And he said, I swear by Allah, I don't know why these words are coming out of my mouth. He swore and he said, at this moment in time, I'm confident. Even if I pass away now, I have no concern that about the hereafter, about the reckoning and the questioning. He said, I am confident. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. That insan, the human being, reaches to the high levels when the bowl fills with nur and becomes nur ala nur, that insan. He says, I have no fikr, no worry, no concern. Wherever I am, Allah, you can keep me here in the world, or I can pass away, you can call me back to you, Allah. I have no concern, no grief, no fear of anything, Allah. So this is what we need to pay attention to. At least we should get to that level, that we should make effort. Or even then still, we are reciting Allah's name, so great, He's told us the tariqah, He's given us the silsila. Even then, kharafat and bad thoughts are coming, we're quarreling, fighting, disputing, and anger and ghibat and backbiting. One hadith I've told you here, that janab with somebody, we're unjust or oppressing someone, this is bad. Control. And may Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq and you also. We need to make effort, my friends. We need to have a bit of courage, determination. Always think about the heart. The machine has been put on. Allah Ta'ala has put the machine on. Allah, 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 Allah. And inshallah, when we close the eyes and we pay attention on the heart always, then the heart automatically, Allah Ta'ala, will make it alive. The wajjah always should be on the heart. That's it. Always the attention should be on the heart. Nowhere else. Just like, for example, come on, oh, I've recited five juz. Okay, I'm tired. There's no rest in life for a mu'min. Maraqabah. Considering that Allah, 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 Allah. Okay, let's pray Nafl Salah. You're free. Allah, 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 Allah. Close your eyes and then you don't even need to close your eyes. You're sat down. Pay attention to the heart, the wajjo. That's it. Allah, 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 Allah. And then pay attention to the heart again. Allah, 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 Allah. So it's not your tongue that's moving. You're paying attention to your heart and the heart will continue to move. And more, for example, if you have more lataif, more sabak, more lessons, then continue to do Allah, Allah on your lessons, on your zaif. We'll do this, my brothers. You understand what I've said? Or were you sleeping? You've understood everything I said? That's it. What do we need to do? What do you need to do with your bowl? Very good. And how will you fill it with nur? The machine is there, isn't it? Taken along. That's it. So you shouldn't be worried. Alhamdulillah. Say Alhamdulillah.